because, folks, it's showtime.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Max. Welcome to Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest in tech and pop culture, plus random things about cool and nerdy stuff. We'll also tackle your tech questions, which, of course, you can submit via the phone, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. But that's not the only way you can reach us or reach me. You can send me a text and email. The text number is 951-395-1017. Again, 951-395-1017. And, of course, email show at onlinetonight.com. That's all one word, show at onlinetonight.com. Let's get a little bit into the tech news. I found this one to be very interesting. Earlier this month, the EU Parliament has now passed a bill that will require all smartphones, tablets, and cameras to use USB-C by 2024. And if you know anything about USB, we have a lot of different types of connectors. We have USB-A, USB-B, USB-C. This is the kind of the standard that everybody's using nowadays. You'll find them on laptops and smartphones. Even the MacBooks have USB-C on the side. USB-C is an interface and not necessarily the technology behind it. It might use USB 3. It might use Thunderbolt. But it's the connector type. And today, the Parliament man from the Maltese, Alex, he said, "Today is a great day for consumers, a great day for our environment. After more than a decade, the single charger for multiple electronic devices will finally become a reality for Europe, and hopefully we can inspire the rest of the world." One of the reasons why the EU has been pushing this is everybody has a whole bunch of different chargers, and it results in over 1,000 tons of e-waste per year and will save consumers, in their view, over 200 million euro or $195 million. Well, I have been using Microsoft products for a very long time. I use both Mac and PC in my world. And I have, you probably have all heard of Word and Excel, PowerPoint, Outlook. And we used to buy that on whichever platform you were in a thing called Microsoft Office. Well, Microsoft has decided that they're going to retire the name, and it's now just going to be called Microsoft 365, and it will have some additional abilities. It's mostly a cloud-based service now, and I'm not sure if when they say cloud-based, they mean like Adobe Creative Cloud, where you still download the apps, and it checks every once in a while to see. I haven't used the 365 version for a really long time. I think I'm still using Office 2018, if memory serves me correctly. But they have more things added to it, like Microsoft Teams, and they have a new version of Outlook and some other tools. They have, I'm not sure what all they've added, but that's the latest from Microsoft Office, now being renamed 365. And some people have moved away from that. People are using some of the free alternatives online, like OpenOffice and some of these other things. And one of my buddies, he keeps sending me some PowerPoints, and I open those in Keynote. So I don't always have to have Office open. I can use whatever app I want. And I'll pop in a few weeks and see what they're offering, because if I'm on an airplane, I won't have internet connectivity necessarily, and so I want to make sure my apps will still work. That's one of the great things about Adobe. If they can't check with you, they still continue to let that go through. Microsoft is also warning users that if you have not already updated your latest version of Windows, they have a new patch available, which is very important because they want to make sure that you are safe. They have added the zero-day flaws that were there to patch up Windows and specifically Exchange. They have fixed those issues. and so you might be vulnerable. So make sure that you check. There are multiple ways to see if you have this problem. You can go into your, well, I won't get into the very technical stuff, doesn't matter. But if you want to double check to see if you have any patches available, then you may want to go ahead and do that. I, over the last few years, have been, and I'm sure you have had the same thing, we've been spending a lot of time on Zoom, which we even used one Thanksgiving and Christmas, I think, if I remember correctly. We had to have the family join us virtually, and we used Zoom to do that. But Google has started testing out this new booth, which looks pretty interesting. I'm really dying to see it because I'm not sure that their demo video is true. I think they might have simulated the experience, but I'm going to pop in and see. Over 100 partners are partnering with Google with what they call Project Starline, and it is a demo of a holographic video calling service. And it's going to be popping up in malls and other locations across the country over the next few months. And I will definitely want to go out there and check it out. Basically, think of it as instead of a video call, they're using this new technology to save bandwidth. So it's apparently 100 times less bandwidth than a standard Zoom or FaceTime or whatever video call. What they're doing is they scan you in real time, they create a holographic image of you, and then they display it on this 3D-like panel that is in front of you in the booth. Now, the reason why I say I'm very interested to see is there are some weird nuances when you create a 3D character of yourself. If you've ever been in virtual reality, or if you've ever done any animation where you have mocap and other technologies, those things are a little bit jittery. They're a little bit different. And so I definitely want to see kind of how that works and see if it looks like the real person and if it has any kind of lag. In their demo, which you can go see on YouTube, it's called Project Starlight Feel Like You're There Together. It's, you know, they try to pull on your heartstrings, and somebody, you know, is afraid to go outside, so they finally get to see their nephew or niece. I can't remember exactly. But the one that fascinated me the most was two deaf people who were able to sit in front of each other through this 3D display and sign to each other and see the emotions and see all those things. So that really fascinates me. I'm going to try to find out where, Miss Victoria, do you know if any of these places nearby us will have them, like the Grove or someplace like that? Any word?
I have not heard anything, but I mean, isn't this just essentially FaceTime in a box?
Well, it doesn't use the video technology. It's actually creating a virtual character of you in real time scanning, and then they compress that data and then they re-image it on this side. So it's not a video call. It is a digital representation of your figure. And that's what really kind of makes it interesting for me, because I like doing some animation things and I like doing stuff like that. So I'm very, very, very interested in having that. So if you don't mind, keep an eye out for us to see where we might be able to check it out. It's online tonight. Don't forget, you can give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, and email, of course. More coming up. Stay tuned. All right, this hour's Geek Speak is virtual reality. Now, you've been hearing a lot about VR and AR, and I'm only going to talk about VR. Virtual reality usually requires some kind of headset, goggles, or something that covers your eyes and gives you a display. Now, the difference between VR and AR, we'll talk about on another show, but let's just explain VR real quick. Virtual reality, what is its main deal? Its main deal is that you are immersed into an entire environment. Let me give you an example. If you were in the middle of a heat wave in, say, Arizona, and you wanted to get away to the tropics, you could turn on your air conditioner, you could put on your VR, and you would be whisked away to Hawaii. Everything that you see would be sand and water and palm trees swaying in the wind. You would not see the desk in your room. You would not see the pictures on your wall, whatever posters you have. I have Back to the Future and some other pictures like that on my wall. But you would be in completely immersed into that scenario. And you can walk around and you can look 365 degrees. You can look up. You can look down. You can look down at your feet in the sand. You can look up to the beautiful sky. And at night, they would show you stars and wonderful sunset and all that stuff. You are completely immersed in this environment. You do not see anything around you in the real world. So that is virtual reality.
Online tonight.
Where the quality of our answers just might surprise you. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, a little more on that topic. Meta released a new VR device. It is called the Quest Pro. And if you remember, they had the Quest 2 for some time after they acquired Opta. Who did they acquire? Miss Victoria, do you know who they acquired?
No, Max.
So Facebook bought another company, Oculus. Good job. Oculus. So they bought Oculus and they rebranded their main product to the Meta Quest 2. But the Meta Quest Pro is now available. It has some more advanced features. It has a nicer looking headset. They've added the handset and all the and you know the hand controllers and all those things. They will be coming out October 25th for $1,499.99. That's the suggested retail price. And that will include the headset, the Touch Pro controller, stylus tips, partial light blockers, and a charging dock. And you can start pre-ordering those at the Meta store now if you are so inclined. But what are you going to do with it? That's, you know, that's kind of been the main question. Well, they also signed this week a deal with NBC Universal to ink a multi-year deal to bring The Office, Blumhouse, IP, and other of their intellectual property to VR devices, to Meta-specific VR devices. And if you're a giant monsters fan, let's say you like Dracula or Frankenstein, or you want to virtually go through Universal Studios' Halloween Horror Nights, those have all been licensed to Meta to create those worlds for you so that you can walk around and experience those things, interact with some of the others. The interesting part then again is the price, and a lot of people are waiting for Apple to announce their VR, but some people are saying that's going to be like $2,000-$4,000, and so that's going to be a lot of money. Now some people are playing games, some of the most popular VR games are, let's see, I usually just like the worlds where I get to go and you know, check out things, but Superhot VR is definitely one of the top ones. Beat Saber, I don't know if you've seen this one, but you're standing. Do you remember the old days when you had Guitar Hero or GarageBand's an app. What was that other one? Rock Band, that's it. Where you had a screen and then you had these controllers and you could play the drums, you could play the guitar, or you could sing. Well, Beat Saber is a VR game where you put the headset on and you grab your two-hand controllers. And as these notes come at you, you use what looks kind of like lightsabers to bash them. And as you cut through those, you earn points and things like that. If you are into scary things, The Walking Dead Saints and Sinners and Resident Evil 4... is also a game that you might be interested in. I don't like those zombie games, or I don't like taking a lot of people down. I'm not into the overly aggressive. Now, Miss Victoria, if you wouldn't mind joining me, we had back before VR was really big, we had a software launch at Macworld, or Nextworld, I believe, and we invited people to come to a VR center that was at the mall. Do you remember what that was like?
I do. The main thing I remember was that there were pterodactyls, and we stood on these stands that had kind of a circular thing so that you wouldn't walk off, you know, with the headsets on. You were kind of confined in this little circular area, And it was very complicated and hard to do. And not being a gamer myself, I really didn't know, other than I kept ducking the pterodactyls.
Yeah.
I didn't really know what I was supposed to do. I was kind of out of my element. But I think that place was really before its time. You know, having a VR center in the mall now would probably be something that people would be interested in checking out. You know, it would be a great way to try out these new headsets from Meta.
My recollection is that the graphics, from what I recall, the graphics was being rendered in semi-real time on a SGI system in the back, and the graphics were okay. They weren't great, but if you look at the things that Unreal can do now and some of these other game technologies, I mean, the amount of clarity, the amount of detail is so much better. Do you remember if you had to actually try to kill the pterodactyls? What was the goal?
I don't know. I was just trying to stay away from them. But what I do recall is that it really wasn't like you were in a different world. It was like you were in another plane. Like, it was just white. And there, like, you could walk off the edge, kind of. That was one of the things that you had to worry about, like, where you were going, because it would just suddenly drop off. And then these pterodactyls would come and, like, try to pick you up. There weren't trees. There wasn't, you know, the graphics were not great at that point in time, so there wasn't, it wasn't like you were just dropped into this other environment.
Yeah, I would love to see how they re-render that nowadays with some of the great technologies that they have. I would love to play that same game again if they would get rid of that ledge where you fall off. They must have been flat earthers, I guess, if they let you just fall off of the world. Nowadays, in a lot of these games, it's a free fall anywhere you want to go. I mean, you can fall off a mountain, but that's okay. So VR is a fun thing that you might want to try. If you have experience, let us know. Give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE.
No boy or girl scouts were harmed in the production of this show. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Thank you for joining us on the Smart Move, or on Online Tonight. I am Max. Hey, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. We take your text messages as well at 951-395-1017. And we also have emails. Email. I used to have a song.
Email.
Yeah, we still have the song, and we still take your emails. Show at smart. Gosh, why do I keep doing that? I will get past that shortly. Show at onlinetonight.com is where you want to reach us. And we did get an email, Miss Victoria.
Yes, this email comes to us from Amy in Rancho Cucamonga. She says, I have an iPhone 8 Plus that is on its last legs. I was hoping there would be a good deal on a newer model once the 14s came out, but I'm not seeing any. I'm on T-Mobile, and photo capability is very important to me. That's why I got the bigger phone, but I'm willing to go smaller if it has the same capabilities. I have seen some unlocked renewed phones on Amazon. Are these worthwhile? I look forward to hearing your advice on the air if you choose to answer my question. Thanks.
Well, we're happy to answer your question, Amy. And the main thing I would say is, and a question like this, I have a lot of follow-up questions. So next time, if you feel comfortable, give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE. But I will try to do my best. If you're on T-Mobile, because that's the one of the services I'm familiar with, and you have an iPhone 8, which means that you've probably had this service for 4 or 5 years, you want to go and look at their website, or better yet, go into a T-Mobile store, because you might have on your account their Forever Upgrade program, which they canceled recently, but they didn't retroactively canceled it, meaning if you had it, you still have it. And if you are on that program and you go from an iPhone 8 Plus to a 14, you can continue to have the Forever Upgrade plan as long as you continue to upgrade to iPhones the authorized devices within the program, and you'll continue to be able to upgrade every 24 months. So you should go and see in the store if you have, in fact, got that program available to you. If you don't, that's okay. You can then talk to the person and say, I see that you're giving away other iPhones. If you add another line, well, in our case, that would be ridiculous because we have four or five lines already, and I don't need another line to get another phone. Well, what am I going to do with the extra line, especially when it's going to cost me an additional $25 or $30 a month? That doesn't make any sense. But if you go into the store, especially, you're going to get a helpful person who's going to look at your account in detail to see what you do or do not qualify for. And if you have a 5 or 6 year old program, you might have them talk to you about the new Mega or Magenta program, because not only could you possibly get a new phone, but they also pay for your Netflix. They give you Apple TV Plus and a bunch of other services. So that would not be a bad thing to do. So my advice to you, Amy, is to go into the store. Now, if all of that goes out the window, and it really is just you have no upgrade capability, your iPhone is not good enough to turn in, like they're only going to give you recycle credit because maybe it's got a cracked screen or your home button doesn't work or the, you know, a bunch of pixels are busted out or there's water damage. They may not give you credit towards a new phone anyway, in which case renewed phones are fine. I have purchased several for family members in the past. I don't usually go to Amazon because I find deals elsewhere. Like Gazelle gives me a good deal, and I have found several on eBay. Now, eBay's hit or miss, but I've been pretty lucky so far. And those renewed, unlocked, and what unlocked means, for those who don't know, is each carrier, when they give you a phone, it is tied specifically to that carrier, meaning if you got a iPhone from T-Mobile and T-Mobile gave it to you as part of the service, you can't just go to AT&T and turn that on over there because it's locked to the carrier. Same with Verizon. You can't just take that to AT&T. Each of the carriers, because they've given you something of value, they want to make sure that you stay with them. So those are considered locked phones. An unlocked phone is a iPhone that can be used on any of the carriers. You can go and get a SIM and you can go pop it in there and the phone will work as long as you have the correct data account, etc., for it to work. And so unlocked phones or renewed phones are fine, and you want to check them out. One of the benefits of going through an Amazon or something like that is they have a pretty good return policy. So after, you know, 7-10 days, if the phone's not working the way you want, you can just pull the SIM, put it back into your 8 Plus, and then return that one to Amazon and try to get one that you like. So there's nothing wrong with those, but I would definitely encourage you to go and check out the store first to see if you qualify for a better program. Speaking of iPhones, if you have one of the original iPhones in a box, now, no one is saying that you didn't open it and used it, but if you have the original box with the original manual and the original stickers and the original charger, and even if you have that nice little cover that they had before, people are paying up to $30,000 for these phones. LCG Auctions was holding its 2022 fall premium auction on October 16th, and among them was an original iPhone. Now, this particular one happened to be in a sealed box, but the likelihood of that is not likely. But the bid started at like $2,500, and they think that it could reach as much as $30,000 when the auction is over. So if you have that, consider. I don't know why you wouldn't have used it. I don't know why you would buy something and seal it. I'm always nervous about things like that. I think, I have a wrapping machine for, you know, some of the products and things I've sold in the past. So who's to say this wasn't wrapped at home, but who knows? A little more Apple news, especially in the iPhone area. If you are having problems with your email, like email keeps crashing on your new iOS 16. Well, there's an update, 16.03. The update is now available, and it claims to fix a lot of the mail crashing issues that people were having. Also, it adds a very strange, and not very many people use it. Most of us use the QWERTY keyboard, but there's also the Dvorak keyboard, and there's something called the Woz keyboard. And if you remember, the two Steves, Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs, started Apple in the 70s. And apparently Woz, because he built his own stuff, he built his own layout for a keyboard that he liked so that he could program more. He knew which letters he used more often for his coding and things like that. So he laid out his keys differently. And that has been known as the Woz keyboard. Well, that has been quietly added to the 16.03 update as well. A lot of talk has been going on about the new lock screen widgets that Apple rolled out in iOS 16. And Google wants you to know that they have completed a bunch of their lock screen widgets with updates for Maps and Search and Gmail and Chrome and Google News and Google Drive. The rollout was completed a few days ago, and you should be able to see those widgets and now add them to your home screen. Maps is included, Search, frequent trips, things like that will be available on your lock screen. I haven't actually explored a lot of that yet because I don't like a very crowded lock screen. I actually get annoyed sometimes when I get notifications that I'm not wanting, but that happens. Now, I love to go to amusement parks and roller coasters and places like that. I enjoy those types of things, not as much as... Like, my parents would never go on a roller coaster. I don't think they've ever been on anything other than the freeway going fast. But roller coasters and things like that, I thoroughly enjoyed. In fact, the last time we went to Disneyland, Miss Jennifer and I got on Guardians of the Galaxy because there was only a 15 or 20 minute wait. And we were super excited because we hadn't ridden it in so long, we forgot how wonderful it was. What's weird is that the new iPhone 14s have been calling 911 randomly, or what appeared to be randomly. And after further investigation, they found out that the high rates of acceleration and the sudden braking on roller coasters triggered the iPhone 14's crash sensor. And so Apple now has specific recommendations that before you go on a roller coaster, you should pop into some of the settings and you should turn off that. And specifically how that's done yet, I'm not sure, but I will have to look it up. But the crash detection feature on the iPhone 14, there is a way to turn that off. So make sure you do that before you jump on a roller coaster. Now, we talked earlier about how certain countries are banning certain things. And I don't know if you remember, but UPS several years ago said, we're no longer going to take batteries on our planes, especially lithium ion batteries, because sometimes they blow up. Well, now Lufthansa has said to Apple, hey, we're going to ban Apple AirTags on flights. And so I'm curious to see how they're going to enforce that, first of all, because one of the main reasons that I would put something like that on my luggage is to find it. I remember coming off a cruise one time and my bag was on a truck. And luckily we saw it and we ran over there and we said, look at the tag, has my name on it. Here's $100 to give me my bag back before you take it to wherever you're going, because somebody made a mistake and put it on the wrong truck. And after they verified it and my ID, they gave me my thing. But now you can just find these things with your phone, but not if you're on Lufthansa. I wonder if it's going to cost them flights. It's Online Tonight. More coming up. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight.
Hey. Bookmark this.
All right, bookmark this. And this hour's bookmark this. Let's head over to Disney Parks on YouTube at youtube.com/Disney Parks. Now, with Jennifer and I go to Disneyland, we pop over to DCA and we always take the little animation class that's there. But not everybody can go to Disneyland or Disney World all the time and still has an interest in drawing. So if you'd like to know, Disney has a How to Draw series. First, let me tell you how you get there, and then I'll tell you what's there. YouTube.com/Disney Parks. Then click on playlist, go about halfway down, and look for the How to Draw series. And you'll be able to look at a bunch of different things, like how to draw Stitch. Who doesn't love Stitch?
It's your mama.
And, of course, Elsa and Minnie Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, Joy from Inside Out, Tinkerbell, Donald Duck, Flynn Rider, Anna, Olaf, that's one of our favorites, Aladdin's Pal, which is the genie, not the monkey, Goofy, and several others. In time for Halloween, you can find out how to draw Jack Skellington. Always a fun time. And you can pretty much take those classes at will or watch how that's done at will and draw to your heart's content. That's youtube.com/Disney Parks. Again, hit the playlist button halfway down, How to Draw series. And that's this hour's Bookmark This.
Trying to figure out where the turkey bacon is on this pig. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate it. Joining me, you can reach me at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. We also take your text messages, 951-395-1017. And you can send us an email, show@onlinetonight.com. In This Week in History, in 1923, the Disney Brothers cartoon studio was founded, thereby making Disney as a company 100 years old. And Disney will be celebrating in several ways. I'll have Miss Victoria join us in a few moments because she knows some of the different ways that they're celebrating. But also in this time in history, whether you love them or hate them, in 2007, Keeping Up with the Kardashians, produced by Ryan Seacrest, premiered on E! Television. I did want to touch briefly on something that I'm curious about. I'm not sure if I'm excited about it, but since I am kind of into the Disney pins, and Miss Victoria is kind of into the Swatch watches, on October 26th of 2022, California Disneyland, or Disney Parks in California, they've had these at Disney World for a decade, if not longer. But October 26, 2022, Disney Magic Band Pluses will debut at the Disneyland resorts. And what makes them special? Well, first of all, they are collectible, kind of like a Swatch watch. They come in different colors with different faces and different characters on the side. So if you're a Star Wars fan, you can collect all the Star Wars. If you're a Marvel fan, you can collect all the Marvel. If you want one of the Disney World 50th anniversary, and I'm sure they'll probably have something for the Disneyland 100th anniversary. So that's the collectible part of it. But it also does some things. If you're a Star Wars fan, you can head over to Galaxy's Edge and you can become a bounty hunter. There's a game that you can play, and the watch is part of that game, and you hold it up, you get directions, and you can then earn points by finding certain hidden things inside of the land. And, of course, during the fireworks or World of Color or any other visual show, the band will glow, and it will flash, and it might even change colors. I have my eye on one. But I'm not sure that I want to spend $40. How much are these things, Miss Victoria, do you know? Because, I mean, am I going to end up owing $1,000 because I buy all these silly magic bands?
I think they are about $40 a piece, and I wouldn't let you buy that many.
How many Swatch watches do you have?
I only have about 10.
How much were they each?
I think they were $30 at the time.
Oh, and that was back in the 80s, I guess, when they were the big collectible thing. You had some news on Disney's 100th celebration, and that's at Disneyland only, right? Because they just celebrated the 50th anniversary at Disney World, and that's almost over and wrapping up. But now we're going to have a 100th anniversary at Disneyland. What do they have planned?
Well, as you know, Disney likes to celebrate every occasion for at least a year, if not 18 months.
Yeah.
And so who knows if later in 2023 they may pull out a 100-year celebration in Disney World, because the brothers did establish their studio in October. But here at Disneyland on the West Coast, we're going to start celebrating that on January 27th of 2023. And they've got a whole lot of different things planned. But some of those new things include a brand new World of Color show. So that should be pretty exciting.
That's over at DCA.
That is at DCA. And then at Disneyland, they're going to have a brand new fireworks show. And they're also going to have new decorations on the castle in a platinum color. And that's going to be, you know, sometimes at the holidays, I'm assuming they'll have that snow look on the castle, yeah, like they usually do. And then at the end of the holidays, they will replace that.
I feel like it was just a year or so ago that they just repainted the whole castle. So now they're going to go and change it all up.
I think they just put an overlay on it.
Maybe you know this off the top of your head, but I heard that the new Toontown ride, that Mickey and Minnie Runaway Roller Coaster or Railway. Train ride, whatever, yeah, is going to be opening January 26th or 27th.
27th. It's going to be opening specifically for the 100th celebration.
Are you going to try to get in there?
It depends on if we're blacked out or not.
Well, I'm sure we're blacked out on that week, but I mean within a week or two shortly after.
Yeah, whatever reservations we can get, we'll be there.
And if you ever want some tricks on how to see the holiday shows at Disneyland or Florida before your blackout dates, Mr. Victoria has some great tips. Online Tonight, stay tuned.
Well, back in the early days of radio, all they had were jungle drums beating the rhythmic message of traffic and weather from village to village. But did they complain?
Hell no.
Do you hear me complaining?
Hell no, because you got a massive secret race that caused all these problems in the first place.
Exactly.
Like the rest of us.
And now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
I'm Max. This is Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest in technology and pop culture, plus random thoughts about cool and nerdy stuff. We also tackle your tech questions, which, of course, you can share with us via phone at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. But you can also reach us via text or email. You can text me by sending a text to 951-395-1017. Again, 951-395-1017. And email is show@onlinetonight.com, show@onlinetonight1word.com. We'd love to hear from you, take your questions, comments, see what you're into. If it's tech, pop culture, movie, video game, VR, phones, anything related, we are happy to see if we can share amongst ourselves, as well as solve any problems you may have, or maybe you'll teach me something, and I'm always happy to learn. I had a quick question for Miss Victoria. I know a lot of different phobias, and one of the phobias that I'm aware of is arachnophobia. That's the fear of spiders. There's agoraphobia, which I believe is the fear of outside, and then there's claustrophobia, which is the fear of being enclosed, like in an elevator or who's that Poe guy, that famous author who was afraid he was going to be buried alive? Edgar Allan
Poe.
Yeah. What is the fear of flying?
Aviophobia.
Well, I might have a tiny touch of that, but I battle it often and I will fly when necessary. I just don't know that I'm happy about this new development. And that is, a company out of Israel is called Aviation Aircraft. They have successfully launched Alice on Tuesday of last week, I think it was. This was a couple weeks ago in September. The first zero-emission plane to travel at over 3,500 feet. That's not very high. It's an all-electric airplane. The thing that concerns me is I don't know if you know anything about drones or things like that, but I charge up my drone battery for 3 hours, and I get 15 minutes of flight time. This thing flew for 8 minutes. 8 minutes. That doesn't seem like a very safe amount of time in the air. I mean, it takes 4 minutes to get down the runway and then take off and then to loop around and come back and then land. That's like 12 minutes. So this plane, it doesn't make sense to me. I am not encouraging the aircraft companies, the aeronautical people, to start making electric airplanes. Would you fly in an electric airplane?
I would if it were, if it had been around long enough, let's say. If they had perfected the technology, then I would, but not in the experimental phase, no.
Okay, so I'm
because
watching.
Because I've seen drones fall out of the sky when they lose their charge.
Yeah, well, I mean, the drone that I have, I am very happy with my drone because my drone has two battery sensors in it, and when it gets to what's called low, it will then start making its way back to you. And it's a GPS outdoor drone. And when it goes to critical, you no longer even can control it. It will then come back to the point where it took off automatically by itself so it doesn't crash. So that's great. But I don't think these airplanes have that ability. Now, they're claiming that their target range is 250 nautical miles, which I don't think would even take you from Las Vegas to San Diego or Las Vegas to L.A. or Las Vegas to San Francisco. I mean, that's, I consider that a short hop. I'm definitely not taking an electric airplane to get from the West Coast to the East Coast to go on a cruise. So I have no idea. And I'm not, it's also very slow. It's a 250 knot airplane compared to a 737's maximum cruise speed of 588 miles an hour, so I'm definitely not doing that. I love food, and maybe you do too. I also love robots. Miss Jennifer had a chance to interview Osimo a few years back at CES, and Osimo is that $10 million Honda robot. And when we first met it, it was able to walk and talk and move its arms around. And then later on, they showed that it could run. And then later on, they could show that it went upstairs. And I think its latest gimmick now is that it plays soccer and some other things, can stand on one foot and do little dances. If you're into food and robots, then you might want to pop over to a new restaurant called Mission Bay. Well, it's maybe that's not it. But they are a food company in San Francisco that is all powered by robots. One of them is called Robo Juice. It's a smoothie-making robot at the San Francisco Metreon, which is a big kind of... the Sony store used to be there, and there was a movie theater, and they had a nice little park with a waterfall and some other things like that. And there is also something called the Coffee Robot... Let me try that again. The Coffee Robot Cafe X. That's also in San Francisco. But now, a full-service restaurant. It kind of makes me think of Back to the Future when Marty went to the future and he went in and they had these screens with famous 80s pop culture icons like Max Headroom and Ronald Reagan and things like that. And they brought your food was delivered through like a pneumatic thing in the table. So I envision something like that someday. Next time I'm in the Bay Area, maybe I will go and check that out. Speaking of Back to the Future, I still want one of these, but I want one of the 1980 versions. DeLorean, I don't know if you know much about DeLorean. DeLorean was a big company in the 80s, started by John DeLorean after he left Chrysler. And he went to Ireland, and Ireland gave them a lot of money, and he built a factory there. And they made the DeLorean, which is made famous, of course, by movies like Back to the Future. And then they went bankrupt because he had a scandal. By the way, he never went to jail for his drug charges. But he did kind of lose his company. A company in Texas, I believe Dallas, Texas, bought all the parts, bought all the molds, bought as much of the manufacturing equipment as they could, and they barged it over to Texas, and they have had it for decades. Well, they now have a new car that will maybe look a little familiar to you. It has the classic gullwing doors made famous by the DMC-12, but this is called the Alpha 5, and it made its public debut recently, and they're taking orders or interests on if you want it. It's going to be about $80,000 to $90,000, and they are saying it's going to be electric. If you have an old 85, 86 DeLorean and you would like to donate it to me, I'd be happy to take it. It's a smart movie show. No, it isn't. It's online tonight. Stay tuned. This hour's Geek Speak is Payload. And when I say payload, I'm referring to the term as it relates to computer science or telecommunications. Now, most of us have heard of IP or Internet Protocol, and that is how we communicate to the Internet and get our email and instant messages and our web pages and things like that. And as part of the Internet Protocol, they have these things called packets, and the packets have headers and metadata, and that metadata would be like what website you want to go to, what web page you want to load. But then all of the images or all of the text and all that stuff is then put into the payload of that packet. And that's the part we care about, right? Without the payload, we wouldn't get those great visuals from our websites or videos or the email or the picture of our, you know, nieces and nephews or those great balloons in a happy birthday wish. That is all delivered in the payload portion of the packet. And just like we had an old saying in telecom, data is like life. And the word payload is actually borrowed from the transportation industry, where they would have a truck and then they would want to know the weight of the payload. They knew how much the truck weighed, but how much was the truck carrying or was the payload? So they use the same term in those two areas. And that is this hour's Geek Speak payload.
This show looks just as good with or without your 3D glasses. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Matt.
On that topic of payload, I thought this was kind of interesting. I thought I would share it with you. The Artemis 1 is a rocket that is going to be going up to space. It was delayed because of the hurricane and some technical issues they had with the rocket. So they've delayed it to November 14th. But what made it interesting to me was the payload that it's going to be carrying. And I have no idea why it's doing that. Maybe we have some consumers in outer space that want to buy some things, and maybe we're going to have a little store or something. I have no idea why these things are in the payload of the rocket, but Snoopy, mannequins, and some of the Apollo 11 items will be on the Artemis rocket as it swings by the moon. Maybe there's a store on the backside of the moon, and they're have to restock. I have no idea. I don't understand why we would put silly things like that into a multi-million to a billion-dollar item to then just fling it into space. There's got to be some reason. I just don't know what it is. Miss Victoria, do you have any insight on why people would put something silly like a Snoopy inside of a spacecraft?
Well, they do send up various pop culture things in spaceships all the time, and it's just kind of a cool, fun thing to do. They can say that Snoopy now has officially gone to space, but I know why the mannequins are there. They actually have designed these specific mannequins to resemble people, and they have sensors on them to measure certain things based on body weight and mass and things like that. So each of the mannequins has a particular purpose.
Oh, like a crash test dummy?
Well, yes, but so they can test different things about how the body is affected and how things work on the spacecraft during the flight.
Sure, like G-force and organ squish and all those types of things.
Yep, it's all science-y stuff.
Oh, all right. Well, I hope they get some good results so they can make traveling to space more safe. Speaking of safe, I was talking earlier about the electric airplane. I'm not sure that I would do that. And another thing I probably would not do is go in a hot air balloon. But some people want to take that to the extreme. The Chainsmokers, who is a popular music band, artist, DJ, producer set, there's two of them, have said that they are going to perform in space in 2022. And they are partnering with a company, a space company called Worldview, I believe. And they are going to go in a, basically, for the lack of a better term, 2024. If I said 2022, I apologize. It's 2024. They are going to go up to space and perform in a sealed capsule attached to a hydrogen balloon. And they're going to go way up there, I guess like on a giant cable, so that they can be brought back down. Two things I don't trust, and that is balloons, because they pop, and capsules, little tiny capsules that could crack and then let in all the pressure. So unless they have like a safety suit or something like that and a gigantic parachute, it would not be for me. But the Chainsmokers apparently are excited that they're going to be able to perform in space with no audience, obviously. More on space. T-Mobile and Elon Musk's SpaceX want to eliminate dead spots. I know that during our travels around the country in the custom RV, we have had some areas where we cannot get service. We're lucky to get 5G in our area in the LA, Hollywood, Southern California area. But then as we travel farther out, we then end up in LTE, and sometimes we end up on Edge. But T-Mobile will be working with Elon Musk's SpaceX Starlink service to provide voice over IP, basically, using the satellite internet service to help kill some of those dead spots that people are experiencing. Hey, I was watching this sci-fi show recently. I thought it was kind of interesting. It's starring Chloe Grace. And we talked last hour about virtual reality. And I'm a big sci-fi movie buff. I really like Back to the Future and Star Wars and, of course, Jurassic Park. And I'm always concerned that we're going to bring back some kind of animal that's going to kill us all, like a T-Rex or a Metadon or whatever those things are called. But it's been almost 100 years since the Tasmanian tiger has gone extinct, and scientists are going to try to resurrect the animal. And I'm not sure if they're using, that same technique that they showed you in Jurassic Park or not, but they're going to be trying to bring this animal back. It'll probably end up in a zoo, hopefully, and not get out. These things go extinct for a reason. I don't think that we necessarily hunted them down. But like the dodo bird, that wasn't very smart. It was natural selection, and sometimes that's a good thing and a bad thing. So if you are a fan of the Tasmanian tiger, you might be able to head over to Australia or New Zealand or wherever it's going to be sometime soon and see their reincarnation. I don't know that that's the kind of science we should be playing with, but who am I to decide? It's Online Tonight. Stay tuned.
Our other radio show is a Lamborghini. And as a matter of fact, we do own the road. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
Don't forget, you can give us a ring at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Text us at 951-395-1017 and email the show, show@onlinetonight.com. Last hour, I shared with you some Apple news, but I wanted to share with you that Microsoft had their big kickoff last week, and they announced a bunch of the new Surfaces, both in Intel and ARM processor variety, If you want more information on that, just drop me a text or a whatever you would like, and I'll try to explain those things. They have released the Surface Laptop 5, the Surface Pro 9, and the Surface Studio 2 Plus. I was very interested in the Surface Studio 2 Plus. They have they've refreshed it, so it has a better processor in it now. It is still like a 28-inch display on a stand, so that's kind of neat. But they threw in some extra ports. They've now embraced the new Thunderbolt 4 standard, and of course you connect that via USB-C, so Europe will be, the EU will be happy. I'm not sure if you can charge it that way, but who knows. And those, unfortunately, are super, super expensive. They start at $4,200. But the ones that people seem to be most excited about are the Surface Laptop. It is the Intel-only version, and it will start at around $1,000 and will hit the shelves October 25th. And, of course, the Surface Pro 9, which is like a it's kind of like a tablet, I guess, if you wanted to guess. Comes in a bunch of fancy colors. Will also hit the shelves on October 25th. You can get the Intel model for $1,000. And if you want the ARM model, those start at $1,299. So there you go. Earlier we were chatting about some YouTube videos where you can learn how to draw. And that URL was a little bit complicated. If you remember in a bookmark this, we shared youtube.com/Disney Parks and then scroll down to the draw series, how to draw series. YouTube wants to make it easier for people to find what they're looking for. This has been very simple on things like Twitter and Instagram and I don't know if Facebook has the same kind of scenario, but TikTok, that's it. Those are the three main ones that use this. YouTube is going to be adding ads. Apparently, there has been a lot of, let's say, fraud. It's not really fraud, but people have been tricking people. As you may know, that you cannot copyright the title of a movie or the title of a book. And back in my day when I was with Apple and places like that, there was a book called The Little Mac Bible. And it was published by a lady on a very small label. And then one of the big book companies came out with the Little Mac Bible and tried to steal her thunder. And the market rebelled against that and really, you know, called them a lot of names. And this was even before Twitter and Instagram and all the normal places to scream about. But all of the user groups and all of the meetings and everybody was complaining that they were using the same title to trick people into buying their book instead of the lady who deserved it. Well, YouTube wants to help with these channel names. You can create an account and you can create a channel name and a look that is similar, if not exact, to the person that you are mirroring or trying to trick other people into going to your site instead of their site. And this is one of the reasons why YouTube is adding the @s. It will be a unique @ short handle for each channel. And that way there'll be no confusion. And that way you'll be able to easily market it to your other social media so that people can find the real you and not the imposters. TikTok is in a constant battle with Instagram, and Instagram is also in a constant battle with TikTok. And you saw recently, I think we talked about it a few shows ago, where I think it was a Kardashian or somebody was saying, hey, Instagram, stop with the videos. We don't want that on this platform. That's why we use Insta. We just want photos. We don't want you doing all this video requirement. If we want video, we go somewhere else. Well, TikTok has decided they're going to add still photos to their platform now as kind of a jab towards Insta. Instagram, as you may or may not know, is owned by Meta, formerly Facebook. And TikTok is owned by Dance, somebody, I think, over in China. And they are really giving them a headache in that area. People are definitely migrating to TikTok over Instagram. And we'll see what happens. Every year, my mom would give me for Christmas. She would give me an advent calendar. I loved this little advent calendar. It usually had a little square of chocolate in it. And on the, it was like a, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. And you, in this case, it was the 24 days of Christmas. We celebrated Christmas, and it was a Christmas advent calendar. And so December 1st, you would open it, and you would take out the little piece of chocolate, and it would be like a mistletoe. And then on the 2nd, you would open it, and then you would take out the piece of chocolate, and it would be like a little wooden train or something. And then you would eat it. Well, the UK has started, this happened a few years ago, but it has recently moved its way onto the US, but I actually think the UK version is a little more interesting. They have done what they're calling reverse advent calendar. What they recommend that you do is, instead of getting an advent calendar and giving yourself a piece of chocolate, get yourself a box or a bag, and every day consider the food banks in your area and put in an item every day instead of enjoying that little... I say you can do both, actually. I would get an advent calendar so when I remember to open the door and take my chocolate, there's a reminder right there that says, hey, don't forget to do your reverse advent calendar and put something in the box. And because some of my relatives are British, some of the things they recommend you put in the box or bag are really funny. And if you need some translation, Miss Victoria, I'm happy to help you with that. What are some of the things, some of the more obscure things that they recommend that you put in this box or bag?
Well, they talk about tinned vegetables and tinned fruit.
Okay, that means a can of vegetables or a can of fruit, like
also
pineapple.
Also tinned meat, which I know you're a fan of.
I don't like tinned meat. I like meat paste in a jar. That's not a tin.
Instant mash.
Okay, what's the next one?
Maybe mashed potatoes.
I don't know.
Fruit squash.
Okay, that's like apple puree or... mango puree or any of those kind of, you know, things that you would get.
Washing up liquid.
A dishwashing liquid or soap.
And then how about loo roll?
Oh, that's easy. We had a shortage of those during the pandemic where people were hoarding toilet rolls. And they say you should put this in, I don't think you should put this in a bin because in Britain, a bin is a trash can, but you should put it in a box. Now, Facebook is trying to copy them, and they have a calendar and everything where they even tell you what to put in on the day. They say on December 1st, put in a can of beans. On December 2nd, put in a can of vegetables and things like that. I like what the UK is doing because they say do it in November. Start it in November and give them 30 days of items. Check with your local food bank to see what they need because it's not always just food. Some women might need some health products. You know what I'm trying to say? They might need some deodorant. They might need some pads. They might need some undergarments. They might need some things like that. And so do that in November. Every day, put something in the bag. Then the first week of December, head over there. I would even put in some toys because sometimes the food banks are serving children. And they want to have a good holiday as well. And then the first week of December, take that to your local food bank and then make someone else's holiday fun. And I still encourage you, I think that's a great way to do it. Do the reverse advent calendar first in November, and then start your normal chocolate advent calendar in December and enjoy the chocolate for all the great things that you've done before. I think that's pretty good. This, we're talking about food slightly. I don't know how I feel about this because I love cereal. As a kid, I would torment my mother. Hey, will you please get me the Crunchberry? Would you get me Captain Crunch? I didn't really like the Lucky Charms until I got older, and then they started changing all of the marshmallows and all the food and all the other things, and I got a little annoyed. But I loved cereal. Peanut Butter Puffs, one of my favorites was they were graham crackers with chocolate and marshmallows. They called it S'mores Crunch. Well, Kellogg has come up with a new line of cereal or whatever. I'm not sure if this is for existing cereal or if they have a new thing. But the company has had these Instabowls, which you may have seen at hotels when they have a thing. It's just like a little bowl of cereal. And they're now recommending that you use water because some of the new bowls are including powdered milk. So instead of adding milk, they want you to just add water and stir. And then the milk rehydrates. And voila, you have cereal with milk. You would definitely have to check the label so that you don't accidentally put water on the cereal bowls that you need to put milk in, because I don't think cereal with water would taste good. And if you want to try them out, they're currently available at Walmart, and they cost about $2 a bowl. Some of your favorites include Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Crunch, Fruit Loops, Apple Jacks. What were you saying, Miss Victoria? What is this good for?
Great for camping.
Great for camping, yeah. Throw a few of these in your RV or your tent or your backpack, and you'll have a good fun. Let us know what kind of cereal you like. This is Online Tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight.
Hey, bookmark this.
Bookmark this. This hour's bookmark this is random.org. What you may or may not know, that most computers use what's called an algorithm to create a random number for games or for contests or things like that. But because it is, it's like a formula. And the formula is just programmed by the software developer. And over time, you can see that it's not really random. It's somewhat predictable, and it starts to repeat itself. So it's not really random. It's pseudo-random, as they call it. But random.org, if you're doing a contest or you really want something quite a bit more random, you can head over there, you can put in a number range, and it will generate a number for you. And what makes them different is that they're not using a static seed, which is part of the variable in the algorithm that makes a random number. They are using atmospheric noise to create that randomness, and therefore you have a much more random number. Now, I ran this a couple times just for fun to see what happens. I got 91, 7, 92, and I thought, that's weird. If I did it over a long period of time and put it into some kind of database or spreadsheet, it probably would not be as predictable as your computer, because that one would start repeating much sooner. And so far, I haven't seen any repeats at random.org. That is this hour's bookmark this.
Online Tonight.
If redness, swelling, or irritation occurs, increase your listening time by 1 hour per day. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, don't forget, you can reach us at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Of course, text at 951-395-1017 and email at show@onlinetonight.com. We have Brian on the line. Brian? All right, Brian from Anaheim, apparently. Feel free to call us back, Brian. We would greatly appreciate that. I have been surprised at how the stores are already setting up for the holidays. It's not even Halloween yet. Thanksgiving is months away. Well, a month away. But the stores already have your holiday shopping in mind. And Toys R Us is making a comeback. You will now be able to buy. You can always go to ToysRUs.com and see stuff there. But if you pop into a Macy's, you may have noticed that the stores now have a small Toys R Us section, and you can go to Macy's.com and you can find a bunch of Toys R Us items there. The problem that I have is I like the sciencey stuff. I like the old time stuff. I don't just like the new hit toys that are hitting the market. I'm always walking around the 100,000 square foot store when they were back around looking for, what was I looking for? Do you know? Usually sea monkeys. It was one of my favorite things to get at Toys R Us. So I'm concerned that the selection is going to be a lot smaller. And I was surprised at how Toys R Us online, ToysRUs.com online has a lot fewer products than they had before. And I didn't find that Toys R Us was necessarily less expensive than some of the other online sources. But if you need money to buy those types of things. If you need money to buy some of those things, well, then you might consider this new, cheaper service coming from Netflix. They've decided to add commercials. So they now have an ad-supported level that will save you money starting at $6.99. You will be able to see their entire library, but now they will insert commercials. The question I have for Miss Victoria, I don't know if she knows this yet, but one of the things that bugged me about some of the services, one of the things I liked was that they would put the ad at the beginning, and then you would get to watch the entire movie or the entire TV series. But some of the others have breaks, and you have to sit through an ad. You can't fast forward through them. You can't skip them. You just have to sit through a 30-second, a minute, minute and a half ad break while you're trying to enjoy your classic TV show. Do you know how Netflix is going to be implementing this?
Unfortunately, I don't, although I've recently seen people complain about how ads are creeping back into streaming, and it's eventually going to be just like watching television.
No skipping?
Yeah, no skipping.
Okay. Well, maybe you can use some of the money that you saved on Netflix to buy some of those toys, or you could then apply it to your reverse advent, if that's something that you want to do.
I found it.
Go ahead.
It says basic with ads will average about 4 to 5 minutes of commercials per hour, which will run both before your movie and show starts, as well as during the programming at a scene break. So I would guess during a movie, you're not going to get any in the middle, but in TV shows where they normally put the ad breaks, you might get some.
So if it's a made for TV movie, like some of those Hallmark movies starring Vanessa Ann Hudgens. Well, she dropped the Ann, right? So Vanessa Hudgens and some of the other people that we like to watch during the holidays.
The Lifetime movies?
Yeah. Those have those fade outs and fade back ins. Same with Friends, same with $6 Million Man, same with the Seinfeld. They all have these breaks because they were syndicated TV shows. And so now you should assume that Netflix is going to start inserting those ads for you. Online Tonight. Don't forget, you can visit us at onlinetonight.com, where you can check out different ways that you can reach us. You can check out the podcast. You can drop us a note and see our schedule. Don't forget, if you're a station, drop us a note. Let us know if you'd like to carry the show. We have different ways for you to get it via satellite or IP or some other fashion. We prefer that you air it live so that we can have callers from your town, etc. OnlineTonight.com for all that. Podcast, of course, is on iTunes and your favorite streaming service. But it's not Online Tonight without you. So drop us a note, and we'll see you next time on Online Tonight. Stay tuned.